live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Ampost has confirmed 17 post offices in Donegal are to close, four more than hadn't been flagged in a draft list circulated earlier this month. Gardaí have confirmed a man has been taken to hospital after entering the water at the Port Bridge in Letterkenny. Serious concern has been raised over the future of the Donegal fishing sector amid ongoing Brexit negotiations. And a recent meeting on border crime has heard that Gardaí and Donegal are working closely with the PSNI and patrols have been increased in affected areas. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, Ampost has published the location of 159 post offices which are to close as a result of the serving postmaster or postmistress opting to retire. There are 17 in Donegal, four more than had been flagged when a draft list was circulated earlier this month. Donal Kavanagh has more.
The 17 post offices to close in Donegal, according to today's statement from Ampost, are Ballyliffin, Ballymagan, Brinleck, Bunbeg, Burnfoot, Burtonport, Churchill, Culdaff, Kilkenny, Dunaff, Dunfanaghy, Dunconeely, Gortahork, Kindrum, Meenanery, Quigley's Point and Rosnakill. The four that weren't included in the initial list are Brinleck, Burtonport, Meenanery and Rosnakill. Ampost says where post offices close, services will be consolidated with neighbouring offices, ensuring their continued viability. 16 post offices have already closed at the request of the retiring contractors, including Churchill in Donegal.
Meanwhile, Donegal Deputy and Las Concorla Pat the Cope Gallagher says this will be raised in the Dáil when it resumes next month, but he's calling on local communities to organise and campaign to keep their post offices. He says the decision to close 17 post offices in Donegal must be revisited and the government should introduce a public service obligation to address the issue of financial viability.
We all know that post offices cannot be profitable, that there has to be a public service obligation to retain the service in these areas. If the same criteria were to be applied in Dublin, bus, or indeed in to the airports in Kerry and Donegal, then there would be no service. So I believe that they have to revisit this, and I'm totally in support of meetings in the various areas, which we as TDs will support, but it's a matter for the locals to instigate such meetings.
We're told in some of the areas affected, there are people who are willing to take the contracts over. On posts, making it quite clear in its own statement that in areas where postmasters opt to retire, the office will close. On post, in its statement, is not allowing any leeway in that regard. You believe with government intervention that should change?
Absolutely, I've no doubt. And what perturbs me most is that on post, took a deliberate decision to make these announcements while the Dáil was in recess. We're returning to the Dáil on the 18th of September, and next week I understand that the Communications Committee are inviting and post in. I met very casually the Minister for Communications while in Dublin meeting the Pope on Saturday last, and I mentioned to him that it was a wrong decision and that it would need to be revisited. It's unfair to put the pressure on the individual postmasters or postmistresses. They've been given an offer and it's their right to accept or reject this, and the focus should return to Ampost and not to the locals.
Gardaí have confirmed that a man has been taken to hospital after entering the water at the Port Bridge in Letterkenny. His condition is not believed to be life-threatening. Emergency services were at the scene of the incident this afternoon. However, no further details are known. Fine Gael has written to local councillors warning them not to nominate any presidential candidates. It's after a number of councillors in Meath said they'd be supporting Gavin Duffy for the presidency. Our political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
Yesterday, Fine Gael's General Secretary sent a reminder email to county councillors telling them not to support anyone but Michael D. Higgins for president. Previous communication from HQ had told councillors they couldn't nominate anyone else, but didn't tell them not to support another candidate entering the race. Many councillors reacted badly to the instruction yesterday when it was sent to them, with one saying the Fine Gael leadership was facing an uphill battle if it sought to actually make councillors abstain. A number of local reps in Meath have already said they'll back Gavin Duffy. Meath councillor Gerry O'Connor says he won't block them.
If I put the whip in place, then those councillors are breaking the party rules and they would be probably expelled from the party. Now, I need those numbers to get budgets across, so I've made a decision myself that I'm not going to put the whip in place.
A number of councillors across the country have also said they won't toe the party line and they don't believe councillors will abstain from voting. It remains to be seen if there will be any punishment from Party HQ if councillors choose to vote for other candidates. The government signed the writ allowing an election today and people will go to the polls on October 26th. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
A Donegal deputy is calling for more flexibility from the Department of Education as to how school bus passes are issued. It's as it emerges 11 students travelling from Kilmacrenan to Milford this year have been refused their school bus pass. Most of the pupils are currently on concessionary tickets as Milford is not the closest available school, meaning by law they can be refused a seat if the school bus has reached full capacity. Deputy Charlie McConlogue says there needs to be an overhaul within the department as to how school bus passes are issued.
I've been dealing with a number of instances at different schools for about 3 weeks now where parents were informed that they weren't getting a school bus ticket. It would appear that where there is too many for the number of seats on the bus, the way they do it is by lottery. So, I mean, the fact that she is getting informed this late isn't acceptable at all. Last year, the situation would have been that her son did get a ticket on a concessionary basis and was one of the students that got a spare seat in the bus because he didn't automatically qualify. This year now, in relation to a lottery, he hasn't got the ticket. And what's happening is every year there's a new lottery. Whenever you're getting a very late notification, it makes it a double blow because you don't have time to prepare. But my key point here would be with a bit more flexibility from the department, we could try and avoid this situation year on.
It's probably never going to change. So in this case, is there any way that this situation can be resolved, situations like this? Or is that it? Is it a fait accompli?
Because you're dealing with national rules, which they are applying rigidly, unfortunately, and there's a number of other instances in other schools where the same situation is applying, unfortunately you're coming up against a brick wall where that is the final situation facing families in the absence actually of a change of rules nationally, which the department certainly are not going to do over the coming period of time.
And that was Donegal Deputy Charlie McConlogue speaking on today's 9 till noon show after one mother indicated she had only just been told that her son's school bus application had been refused. The DUP leader has unveiled a large banner hitting out at Sinn Féin on the day Northern Ireland matches Belgium's record of the longest time without a functioning government. The feat of 589 days means Stormont has been without an executive since January of last year. Arlene Foster's party has failed to reach an agreement with Sinn Féin to enter government as the two largest parties. The dispute centres on issues such as the Irish language and same-sex marriage. The DUP leader says there's no sign of progress anytime soon.
There's been no discussion around a resumption of talks. I think everybody knows what the issues are. But we stand on our mandate. All we ask is that every other party stands on the mandate that they were given last March. Instead of which we have Sinn Féin coming forward with a list of demands.
And a number of protests are to take place this evening across Northern Ireland in response to the political deadlock, including at Derry's Guildhall Square under the hashtag #WeDeserveBetter. The future of Donegal's fishing sector is feared to be in jeopardy. Concern has been raised that key issues within the sector are being overlooked amid ongoing Brexit negotiations. There are fears that if clear future guidelines are not set out, hundreds of local fishermen will be left in limbo. Councillor Martin McDermott says this is an issue that must be addressed.
I think it's very, very important to understand that there's two borders that we're dealing with, not just one. There's the land border and there's also the sea border. And I think that point has to be has to be put forward, and I think it's not been put forward at all at the moment. And I think it's a very, very dangerous position for fishermen, as I say, especially in the north coast of Donegal, because Brexit will have a massive, massive impact on those fishermen, with the fact that, you know, the 6 mile fishing boundaries and all that stuff will come into play, and we'll have fishermen not being able to fish in areas that they've been fishing for the last 100 or 200 years here.
What would you like to see happen then? Obviously you'd like this issue to be included in talks going forward.
Yeah, I think it's, I have been on to my own party colleagues about this, because I feel that none of the spokespersons on Brexit, let it be government or out of government, are taking this seriously. And I think that's very, very dangerous. It's very dangerous for the fishermen. It's very dangerous for the fishing sector, because the likes of Donegal especially depends very, very heavily on the fishing sector. It depends very heavily for the fishermen, and then the outlay off that to the fish processing factories and everything else around Donegal, and that's very, very important. There's hundreds and hundreds of jobs dependent on that. I don't see that conversation happening at all, and I think that's very, very worrying for fishermen, and especially for the fishermen here in Donegal.
The British local government minister James Brookenshire was in Derry today for discussions on a potential city deal for the region following other recent visits by senior department officials. Among those he met was Foyle MP Alicia McCallion, who says momentum is growing around the campaign for a deal. She says today's talks were constructive.
We welcomed James into the city to discuss the proposals that we are currently developing as part of the city deal. Over the past, I suppose, 6 to 8 weeks, we've had 3 British government officials over here discussing the potential city deal for the Northwest, so that obviously has to be welcome.
In terms of the momentum, there's no doubt the city deal issue has had more momentum in the past number of weeks, as you've indicated. From talking to James Brockenshire today, from talking to Karen Bradley and others in the past, are you getting the sense that there is movement and we are going to see concrete offers on the table sooner rather than later?
Well, one would hope so. Obviously, we need to begin the formal negotiations with the British government to see how exactly this deal will look. So we look forward to continuing on with that work. I would very much hope that we do see the conclusion with a fully fledged city deal for the Northwest region. But at this stage, it's welcome development that we even have the discussions happening as they are. We do need to see delivery of that deal, however, sooner rather than later.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking the latest range of children's gear from Nike, Adidas and Puma. MichaelMurphySports.ie.
It's now 14 minutes past 5 and time's the latest sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We'll start with boxing, and Jude Gallagher has won bronze at the World Youth Championships in Budapest in Hungary. The Two Castles Newton Stewart fighter lost in this morning's semi-final to Titsan Panmud from Thailand. Gallagher suffered a 4-1 defeat, but the scores were closer than the result suggests. The 16-year-old is still eligible for the youths in 2019. Gallagher, who has won 2 bronze medals this year at major competitions. In April, he medalled at the European Youths in the Ukraine, and he'll return home with the Irish team this Saturday. So well done to Jude Gallagher. In Gaelic games this Sunday, Tyrone make their first All-Ireland final appearance in 10 years. The last of their 3 All-Ireland titles was in 2008, and the O'Neill County will return to the big stage to try and take the Sam Maguire Cup away from defending champions Dublin, who are gunning for 4 in a row. Brian McGuigan and Kevin Hughes were All-Ireland winners under Mickey Hart during Tyrone's golden era in the 2000s. Both say Tyrone can cause an upset. Firstly, Brian says anything can happen in a one-off game.
Looking at Tyrone, looking at what Mickey brings to the whole All-Ireland final game, you know, I think that's the one chance that they have. It's a one-off game. As Kevin has said before, you're playing with a bit of caution before it, because, you know, you're, the end goal is the All-Ireland final. But when this is a one-off, you know there's nothing after it. You got to give it your all. And the players can't go out of there with any regrets. Leave nothing behind. And I think they will do it.
Kevin?
I'm the same. I think they've a really good chance. A few things, because the underdog mentality, you know, and that one day, it only takes one day, one good performance. We've seen snippets of it from Tyrone, first 20 minutes against Monaghan, and even that point to Gallaghan Meath to stay in it. That brings the team along. It brings them along in leaps and bounds. So I just think they have to come out of the blocks like ravenous dogs. They really have to go for it. They can't give Dublin time and space on the ball. They have to hit them from the start. And if they can get on top, which we haven't seen from this team yet, if they get on top, they have to stay on top and do it for 50, 60 minutes.
Well, ahead of that All Ireland final on Sunday between Tyrone and Dublin, the GAA programme tomorrow night, Wednesday, will come live from St Davoc's GAA Club in Ahiarn. The club is home to Tyrone's Ronan McHugh and Ronan McNamee. Tom Comack will be getting the feel of the O'Neill County ahead of their fifth All Ireland final appearance and their chances of lifting Sam for the fourth time. The GAA programme All Ireland special live from Ahiarn is tomorrow night, Wednesday at 8:30. In other Gaelic Games news, James Horan is the favourite to succeed Stephen Rochford as Mayo senior football manager. Rochford stepped down last night, citing a lack of desired level of support for him to continue for a fourth season. Former Donegal boss Jim McGuinness has also been linked with the vacancy, but Westport boss Horan previously managed Mayo between 2010 and 2014. Sports editor of the Mayo News, Mike Finnerty, says it's unclear whether he'll be interested in another term in charge.
Whether or not he's actually interested in it at this stage, again, it's well known he's got a lot of media commitments, he's got a young family, he's got a very busy job, and he's only just started this project in Westport as well, which I suppose anybody who's plugged into Mayo football will know they are the coming club now. They've swept the board at underage level, they're winning A championships hand over fist, and they really are building something. Whether James Horan throws his hat in the ring, it remains to be seen. But if he doesn't, that shortlist, I think, is pretty short. There's no obvious candidate, I think it's fair to say at this stage, jumping off the page.
And John Mohan's returning to inter-county football management. He's landed the Offaly job. The former Mayo boss hasn't been in charge of a county team since leaving Roscommon in 2008. Moving on to soccer, and Dundalk have the chance to open a 6-point gap at the top of the SSE Electricity League Premier Division this evening. The Lilywhites, who have won their last 13 league games, they host Shamrock Rovers at Oriel Park. Kickoff is 6:45. Victory for Shamrock Rovers would see them close the gap to third place Waterford to a point. In other news, four-time European champions Ajax, they look to end a four-year wait to play in the group stages of the Champions League tonight. They take a 3-1 lead to Dynamo Kiev for the second leg of their playoff tie. Celtic's conquerors AEK Athens, they're 2-1 up ahead of hosting Vidi. And Dynamo Zagreb's and Young Boys, they're locked at 1-1 heading into their game in Croatia. And there's 21 games in the second round of the English League Cup tonight, with a cluster of top-flight sides entering the competition. Former Galway striker Aaron Connolly, he's been included in the Brighton squad for their all-Premier League tie with Southampton. West Ham, they make a tricky trip across London to League One side Wimbledon. Leicester host Fleetwood. Wolves, they go to Sheffield Wednesday. Huddersfield there at Stoke. Crystal Palace have a potential banana skin at Swansea. And Bournemouth, they play MK Dons. It's Cardiff, they host Norwich. And Fulham take on Exeter. Up in Scotland, Hearts manager Craig Levein, he remains in hospital in Edinburgh due to what's understood to be a heart-related illness. He was admitted yesterday after feeling unwell. Levein's assistant, Austin McPhee, he'll be in charge for Saturday's Scottish Premiership game at St Mirren. And the Donegal League, they have announced that the first match on the newly laid pitch will take place next Wednesday night, the 5th of September. It'll also be the first use of their new floodlights at the league headquarters at Diamond Park. The match itself will be a keenly anticipated affair with Ollie Horgan. He's bringing his first team, Finn Harps team, to the league to take on the league's Oscar Trainer team under the management of Raymond Shields. That game kicks off at 7:30 next Wednesday night. In hockey, Ireland's women, they have been grouped with two of the world's top five at next year's European Championships in Antwerp. The World Cup silver medalists will open their campaign against England on August the 18th, 2019, before facing Belarus the next day. Graham Shaw's side round off their trip against the current world number five, Germany. Ireland's men's side have also been drawn to face Germany. Alexander Cox's team will also face Scotland and the Netherlands. Finally, for this evening in tennis. Day two of the US Open is underway at Flushing Meadow, where 2017 French Open winner Yelena Ostapenko has taken the first set of her match against Andrea Petkovic. Just getting underway on the Arthur Ashe court is the meeting of women's second seed Caroline Wozniacki and Sam Stosur. Later, Wimbledon champion Angelique Kerber takes on Margarita Gasparin of Russia. And five-time men's champion Roger Federer, he opens his 2018 account against Japan's Yoshito Nishikori, while Novak Djokovic, he faces world number 41, Martin Fucsovics. Well, that's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. The hosepipe ban has been lifted in the northwest, but extended in 16 other counties until Sunday this 30th of September. Irish Water says it's necessary to conserve water supplies as levels in rivers, lakes and ground sources remain lower than normal. From this coming Friday, the ban will be lifted for 10 counties, including Donegal, Leitrim and Sligo, as a result of increased rainfall. However, Eamon Gallen of Irish Water says the ban must be maintained elsewhere for at least another month.
In Cork, rainfall for June and July was 51 millimetres against an average of 160 millimetres, and in Dublin it was 37 millimetres against an average of 124 millimetres. As a result, storage in the reservoirs continues to drop and demand is expected to increase over the coming months with the returns of schools and colleges.
A recent meeting on border crime has heard the Gardaí in Donegal are working closely with the PSNI and patrols have been increased in affected areas. Parts of South Inishowen have been subject to a heightened amount of suspicious activity in the last couple of months, with residents urged to be on alert. Councillor Paul Canning says the level of cooperation is paying dividends and is encouraging the local community to continue their engagements.
I thought the meeting went very well. There was myself and members of the Killeagh community that had concerns about the cross-border crime, and especially with close proximity to a certain transient site that was out at Daisy Field there at the Brandywell. So we made it our business to set up a meeting with the PSNI, and I thought they were very forward speaking to us and explaining about their way of dealing with crime.
Now, while both the Gardaí and police have vowed and are currently increasing patrols on both sides of the border, obviously the message still stands for residents to be extra vigilant.
Yeah, we're very, very happy with the response that we are receiving from the Gardaí and the PSNI on both sides of the border. We're also very confident of the relationship between the both jurisdictions in relation to the Guards and the PSNI. So I'm still asking people to be vigilant at this stage, because you never know with going in and out of the dark evenings that there will be a spike in these burglaries again. So just keep up the good vigilant work that they're doing at the minute.
And finally in news, a 13-year-old boy has been sent forward for trial accused of murdering Kildare schoolgirl Anna Creashel. The teenager's body was found in May, a few days after she had been reported missing. Stephanie Rogan reports.
The body of 14-year-old schoolgirl Anastasia, or Anna Creashel, was found in a derelict building in Lucan, County Dublin in May. Two 13-year-old boys were subsequently charged with her murder, but neither can be named because they're minors. One of them faced his sixth hearing this morning before the Children's Court, and he's now been sent forward for trial to the next sitting of the Central Criminal Court. He had been in custody at the Opistown Children Detention Campus, but was granted bail on strict conditions last week. He thanked the judge following his court appearance this morning and left the courtroom holding hands with his mother. The other boy, who has since turned 14, was granted bail at the start of the month and is due back before the Children's Court on Thursday. It's understood the boys are the youngest people in the history of the state to face trial for murder.
And for weather now, cloudy with outbreaks of rain and drizzle this evening. The rain will clear most areas early tonight with a few isolated showers overnight and lowest temperatures of 7 to 9 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, AmPost has published the location of 159 post offices which are to close as a result of the serving postmaster or postmistress opting to retire. There are 17 in Donegal, 4 more than had been flagged when a draft list was circulated earlier this month. Donegal Deputy in Lascan Corlip, Patrick Gallagher, says this will be raised in the Dáil when it resumes next month and is calling on local communities to organise and campaign to keep their post offices. Gardaí have confirmed that a man has been taken to hospital after entering the water at the Port Bridge in Letterkenny. His condition is not believed to be life-threatening. The British local government minister James Brokenshire was in Derry today for discussions on a potential city deal for the region following other recent visits by senior department officials. Among those he met was Foyle MP Alicia McCallion, who says momentum is growing around the campaign for a deal. And a Donegal deputy is calling for more flexibility from the Department of Education as to how school bus passes are issued. It's as it emerges 11 students travelling from Kilmacrenan to Milford this year have been refused their school bus pass. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, the 28th of August. The death has occurred of Gerard Kearney, 74 Townsend Street, Strabane. His remains will repose at his home from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Thursday afternoon at 25 past 1 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane at 2 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Michael Doherty, the boss, roadside Buncrana. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15 to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. The death has taken place of Sadie Doherty, Lower Terrerone, Moville. Funeral from her residence on Thursday morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St. Columbus Church, Ballinacrae. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of Liam Collins, funeral director, or any family member. The death has occurred of William Mullen, 14 Meadow Park, Sion Mills. William's remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there on Thursday morning at 9:30 for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock in St. Teresa's Church, Sion Mills. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Foyle Hospice, care of Charles Lynch, funeral director. The death has taken place of James McGinley, Hillhead, Ardra. His remains are reposing at his residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 to the Church of the Holy Family, Ardra, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass. Burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Medical 2 Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. And the death has taken place of Joe Durning, New Mill, Rimelton. His remains are reposing at his home. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Rimelton. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery.